ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast, produced in association with our strategic partners, Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, and with Generation CFO. Transformation is a phrase that's been uttered in many conversations over the past years. Its definition can potentially be confusing. The pace of change that organisations have experienced in the past 12 to 18 months has definitely accelerated, and that pace of change may well yet more accelerate in years ahead. So how should the finance community play its role in driving their organisations towards the future? ACCA, in association with Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand and Generation CFO, have been considering the impact of transformation on organisations and the role that the finance community can play. The observations are presented in our joint report, Transformational Journeys, Finance in an Agile World. This is the third in a series of podcasts that accompany that report, and the focus of this discussion is on the importance of culture in transformation and how it's important to have the right culture to deliver success. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm the Head of Business Management in ACCA's Pressure Insights team. And I'm pleased today to be joined by my guests, Brendan Sheehan and Stephen Dowling. Brendan is the CEO of White Squires, a transformation consultancy based in Australia. Brendan is also an ACCA Council member. Stephen is the CEO of ETM, a consultancy based in Australia, and is a member of ACCA's Technology Global Forum. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Clive. Great to be here.
Right. Let's start with probably the trickiest question out of all of it. What is transformation? Can you summarise that in a few words? Stephen, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, start with the easy one. Yeah. To me, transformation, if I use an analogy, caterpillar to a butterfly. To me, transformation is true transformation. You know, anything else is just a faster caterpillar. And a lot of times when I look at transformations that I see here, they really don't get to the heart of it. You know, and we'll talk more about it today, you know, changing the thinking, the mindsets of the senior leaders, especially, you know, and to me, if you don't actually get to that butterfly, that true transformation, then to me, that you're not getting there. And, you know, and I just think, like you said in the intro, Clive, you know, the world is changing. It's going to change at an accelerating rate. And, you know, people have to go on these journeys. But, you know, I suppose, and I would argue that even the word transformation, to me, I think is going to become in the future, it's just going to be continuous transformation, because the world's going to keep evolving and adapting. And we've got to be able to build the kind of foundation for each one of us to be able to go with whatever it is.
And Brendan, how does that resonate with you?
Very closely. I think transformation as opposed to continuous evolution and change, I think they're two different things. So transformation implies a change from one state to another, a bit like what Stephen's analogy with the caterpillar and the butterfly is. But I think people tend to use the word transformation a bit liberally, and they use it in a way of going from sort of on those faster caterpillar journeys that Stephen talks about. So it's used often in a not quite the right way, and justifying headcount reductions and cost reductions. So I think transformation starts with a different mindset. It starts with individuals and teams within organizations, but also at an organization level. We want to be something different. So transforming to something different because of something is probably the bigger question. Why do we want to change? And we know, you know, from some of the work that ACCA has done over the years, the why is very important. And I think it has become more important in sort of the recent past because of the next generation of people who are coming through the workforce. They're looking for purpose around the work that they do. So that has knock-on impacts on everything that an organization must do, because if they want to attract the right people, they have to play to that need for making a difference in the world. So I think it really is about reflecting as individuals, teams, and organizations on what it is that we are doing, why do we do it, and then transforming to be able to deliver on that promise a bit more effectively.
So why does this matter to the finance community, Brendan? Why should the audience be concerned about transformation?
Yeah, great question. So I use the phrase, the robots are coming, and they're coming faster and faster. I think accountants are in the firing line and have been for a long time in terms of computers doing the kind of work that accountants do traditionally. So we've moved from, pens and paper many years ago to spreadsheets these days. The spreadsheets are becoming, they'll never be obsolete, but the type of work that's in spreadsheets is becoming more automated almost in visualization tools and data analytics tools and things like that. So the type of work that accountants traditionally have done is being eroded, and there's an opportunity in that it creates more time for us to do more value-added work. But I think it's really important to start focusing on what is that value-added work that you're going to be doing when the robots are doing all your traditional work. So there's an existential threat there somewhat. If you don't actually transform individually as an accountant, as a team of accountants, as an organization of accountants, if that's the case with professional accounting sort of organizations, you will be extinct. And many, many organizations are facing that same predicament. It's not just accountants, it's lawyers and even organizations, traditional organizations like Kodak, for instance, had to transform but didn't. And they felt the brunt of that.
So we've got two things going on here, haven't we? We've got this movement towards a more vision, a more purpose-centered organization, which probably brings in the ESG agenda, but we've also got this data journey, the transformation of the way we work. And those two imperatives mean that finance really does have to step up to the plate, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. I think the ESG argument is an opportunity for accountants to step into it, for sure. Maybe we talk about that a little bit further, but it'd be interesting to hear what Stephen's views on where those opportunities are for accountants as well.
I think there's a huge opportunity there, because like we've said at the start, there's going to be this journey that all companies and organizations have to go on. Things are going to keep changing and evolving. And you want finance has a really important role to play, and you want them at the front of the bus with this, playing it. And I just think it's a huge opportunity for them to get to that sort of supporting that strategic level thing. And I just see, because the finance role in any organization is so critical. So they've got to be there at that front of the bus to help drive these transformations through and make it things successful. So I just think they're so critical in it.
Stephen, you talked about the nature of continuous transformation, and you and I, off the piece of this podcast before, talked about industrial age thinking and how we've got to change our mindset to be more continually adaptable, to be more agile, as the title of the report says. Is that another barrier that as finance professionals looking at transformation we need to overcome?
Yeah, this is a huge one. I come across this so much, and we have a certain model of management that is been sort of in existence for such a long time. And it's just, there's assumptions there about, this is the way we do things. And to me, when you look at the reality of the world that we're all living in now, this kind of industrial model, hierarchical, top-down, functional designed organizations, command and control type leadership, it just doesn't fit with what's needed now for organizations for the future, to build these 21st century enabled organizations that are going to be able to operate in an agile way, deliver value to their customers, that the needs of those customers are going to keep changing and evolving. And if we don't have the right organization system that will support that, then we've got a really big problem. And the trouble is, this industrial model is very, it works against the kind of, the best practice lean agile thinking, because it's all about trying to you know, like what Brendan was saying, purpose is really important. Everybody has to know why you're doing something. And then, you know, obviously to be able to get things done and to execute, you've got to empower people to be able to deliver things. But if you've got these sort of old world hierarchical governance structures where, you know, to be able to get something, you've got to get a decision, go all the way up the tree, then it's going to make things really difficult. Now, you've got to obviously organize in a certain way where you've got safe guardrails to operate within. But the structures and the thinking that needs to be in place is very different to that old world industrial model. It's like chalk and cheese. And the problem is these things don't work well together. They actually pull against each other. So there's some big challenges there. And like you were saying at the start, Clive, culture is such an important. And what is culture? Culture is the behaviors that you see. Well, the way I would do it is the sum of the behaviors. So how do you enable all the right behaviors in an organization? You've got to have the right thinking, you know, which then if everybody's has a certain way of thinking about this is how we should organize ourselves, this is how we should fund, this is how we should control, how we should manage the work that we're doing, then that then drives, well, how do we organize ourselves? How do we set up our processes, our systems? But if you don't get the thinking right, then we've got a really big problem because you won't get the rest of it right. And unfortunately, we've got this old world industrial thinking that's embedded in organizations. You know, finance, a lot of what finance has been doing has been going for 100 plus years, you know, annual budgeting, you know, procurement. You look at contracting and procurement process, they've been operating for 200 years. And you're telling me that these are fit for purpose now, given the nature of the world that we're living in? There's some really big challenges that we're faced with to try to unlock this and yeah.
So, Brendan, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, of course it does. I think Stephen's right about the mechanics that go behind how organizations work. So I refer to that as the operating model. And we spend a lot of time, I think, in ACCA's thought leadership, focusing on that sort of higher level thinking about changing mindsets and talking about, you know, our purpose and our why. And you know, accountants need to find that value added opportunities where we can support our organizations, support decision making, as Stephen talked about. But I don't think we're really very granular about that often. We're often quite high level about it. And the operating model is actually where the real rubber hits the road. You know, absolutely, definitely got to understand as an individual, as a team, as an organization, what we're here for, how we serve our customers, who are our customers, why do we serve them, all of those things, really, really important. But then once you've got that and you've established that, I think you've got to get down into the operating model. And the operating model is about the people that you have, the skills that they need, the culture that you want to develop within your organization. And then out of the back of that becomes things like, you know, the kind of reports that you want to rely on to make decisions, the kind of systems that produce those reports, the governance structures that you need to be able to allow the free flow of information and rapid decision making. And I think a lot of where Stephen comes at this is about the need for speed around decision making and the need for speed for around accurate, well thought through, but not perfect decision making, and that's the role of accountants, is to be able to support the decision making within an organization, to be able to help them to not get it right, but to reduce the risk guidelines or tram lines around decisions that executives are making. They're, you know, areas, shades of gray is okay. You know, I think understanding that as an accountant is probably a mindset shift for most accountants. I think if you ask any CEO, they would look for, you know, 70 to 80% is okay. Like, it just gives us some boundaries within which to make sort of decisions. So I think underneath that then comes, well, what are the people, who are the people we need? What are the systems that we need to produce that information to support it? How do we make decisions in an agile, structured way, not hierarchical, but distributed and allow people to fail fast and advance. I think that's the bit that we have to learn as a profession. And that's where the rubber hits the road for me. How do you set up an operating model so that you build that capability within your finance team, but also how do you build the understanding within the organization, the decision makers, about the value of accountants in that decision-making process? Because all too often, accountants are regarded as the bean counters and the sales prevention unit and those kind of things. So we've got to break that mold. Otherwise, accountants will suffer from an existential point of view, but also the businesses they work for will suffer as well, because they will be making very uninformed decisions. And that is life-threatening as an organization in this day and age.
So the couple of things you said there, one about having clarity about the purpose of what the finance function is there in the organization to do, is fundamental to playing a role in transformation. But within that, there is also its role within the culture of the organization, because the operating model starts with the culture and the people in the organization. It doesn't start with the technology, which is often what people who run transformations get wrong.
Yeah, people always... Sorry, it's very easy to run to technology as the solution to a problem. Often when consultants come into an organization and they do their sort of rapid interview processes and diagnostics and benchmarking and all that kind of stuff, it often comes down to a technology solution as certainly part of, if not all of, a recommendation. And to me, all that does is it kicks a can down the road for a couple of years, gives somebody a big fancy job to implement a new ERP system or a new piece of tech, and actually doesn't solve the underlying root cause problem. And that's to a lot of where Stephen comes at this. It's the way that people work together. It's how they make decisions, how they operate and collaborate with each other. It's not the technology. There's loads of tools out there. There's loads of technology. They won't solve the problem for you about how to make decisions.
Yeah, can I just take that a tiny bit further? Because I couldn't agree more with Brendan. And this, you know, like, you know, when it comes to any organization, you know, okay, let's just take a commercial organization. You're there to provide value to customers. So you've got to be, you know, and their needs are going to change and evolve. So at the end of the day, it's all about delivering value to those customers at a cost effective way, so that, you know, you're making money and all that kind of stuff. But delivering that value is something that goes horizontally. Whereas when you look at, like that, we talked about the industrial model, you've got functional designed organizations. Whereas where you look at now, the best and most agile organizations, they're organized around value. And they organize around value, and then the business model supports that, the operating model supports that, but they're structured in a way that will allow them to be able to deliver value quickly and fast to their customers. So finance have to be able to support that, those value streams, those customer journeys, with information to be able to make good, fast business decisions. And the problem, I think one of the systemic problems that's there, is that a lot of times the way accounting has evolved, it's, you know, you've got two arms to it. You've got financial accounting and the compliance stuff. Then you've got management accounting, which supports the operational decision making and, you know, controlling work and stuff. But there's been a bit of a disconnect. And to me, this is where accountants, if they want to make sure they stay relevant, they've got to get really close to the business and make sure that they're providing information that can help with that really fast decision making, and get the structure right. And then, like Brendan says, bring the right technology in to support that sort of end-to-end structure. But the danger is, if you look at technology and you start with technology, you could end up making the whole thing worse, because what you end up doing is optimizing a part of the end-to-end system, which then creates a bottleneck somewhere else down the track. So it's very important to get the settings right at the start to enable this, I feel.
So one of the things I think you said there, Sim, there's a risk that if finance doesn't change in its perception, it sticks in its traditional view, it will be out of kilter, disconnected with the culture of the organization overall, which needs to be this customer-centric, agile, adaptive, collaborative structure in order to survive.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Clive. And I think, you know, I don't know, in some of the clients I've worked with, you know, I know nothing Brendan's got, the ones that Brendan works with and what he provides, but a lot of the general accountants that, you know, if you go to the business people and you ask them, you know, ask them questions like, well, you know, do I get information that's helping me to make, manage my business and make good, fast decisions? A lot of times they come back and say, well, I don't really quite understand how all the accounting works. And people have just got a bit disconnected from it. Whereas when you look at the kind of the agile-based organizations, it's all about understanding, you know, operational metrics, flow, lead time, you know, things that really drive how quickly, you know, products and services are flowing through the organization. So you're delivering that value to the customer. And then, okay, there's obviously very important financial implications of that, but you've got to have a way of being able to connect the two. And unfortunately, over time, they've just got more and more separated, I find, in the organizations I'm seeing. You know, and there's some great areas, like there's a brilliant area that I've just been digging into. It's called lean accounting, but they have a brilliant way of being able to link operational metrics with financial metrics with capacity. And it's just a way that in one very simple tool, people can see what's happening from an operational point of view, what's happening from a financial point of view. And it's really easy for people to understand. Whereas in a traditional organization, you've got your heart chart of accounts, you've got, you know, all your, you know, allocation processes that are going, that are confusing things. And it's just not so easy to get the right information, I find. That's my...
Brendan, anything to add?
Yeah, for sure. So just as Stephen was talking, I was thinking back to a little podcast that I was watching at the weekend on YouTube, but it was from Cathy Wood from ARK Invest. And she was talking about how right now we're going through, there's five major disruptive technologies that are happening at one time. And the last time that anything like that happened, where there was this confluence of technologies disrupting things, was when you had electrification, the automobile and the phone come together right back in the early 1900s. But now they're talking about like AI, robotics, energy storage, genome sequencing and blockchain as being the five big disruptive technologies that are happening. So I think what that says to me is exactly on this point about the industrial age thinking that's holding us back. When we went from electricity and automobile and the phone lines coming in, we went into massive, standardization of processes in production line environments, right? And that was built into the system in order to prevent exceptions. You had people who were focused on doing the same repetitive task over and over and over and over again, and they became absolutely expert in that particular task that they did. So the purpose of that was to reduce exceptions or defaults or defects in the system. And that was taken all the way through from Henry Ford and Ford Motor Company right through to Toyota's way of thinking and the Lean Six Sigma approach to industrial production, right? But now we're working in a place where the actual robots are finding the exceptions themselves and are actually fixing the exceptions themselves. Or we're certainly on the verge of that kind of technology. So what does that do for accountants? That's for me is the big question. Absolutely those five disruptive technologies are going to hit businesses and how they face the world and how they produce products and services to their customers. But for the role of accountants within that environment, you have to be able to step above the routine processes that have been part of accounting. And Stephen talked about the lean accounting approach, and lean always means removal of waste. It means doing the absolute minimum amount of work that's required to get the outcome that you need and have absolutely minimized the exceptions and waste around that process. So that's a good first step to it. I think you have to get into that digitization of the operations of your business. When you think about digital strategy, there's three sort of components of it. One is the digitization of your operational components. The other is the digitization of the way that you interact with your customers. And the third one is the digitization of the product that you sell to those customers. They're really the three sort of pillars of digital strategy. What I'm talking about is that first one, the digitization of the operations of your financial accounting work. You absolutely, if you're not doing that, you're so far behind, it's not even funny. Like you've got to be using things like Blackline, and I think Blackline were the first to come up with that lean accounting concept, maybe not. But using data analytic tools like Power BI or Tableau and those kind of things to actually visualize data production, using things like TM1 and really high volume data crunching tools, absolutely automating the hell out of your month-end process so that you don't have to have manual intervention in journals and all of that kind of stuff. If you're not working on that, you are so far behind as an accountant and as an accounting function. Where you really need to be now is around how do you digitize the delivery of your services to your customers. And that for me is where the modern accounting company is, or modern accountant is thinking.
But that's got to fit in the overall transformation, digitization, the whole business across those three pillars. It's not one of those pillars in isolation, is it?
It doesn't have to be done within. If the organization isn't developing, like, the accountants always go first. If there's ever anything that accountants are good at, it is going first on projects like that. They're good at being the first to put their hand up and say, we'll reduce costs in our department, we'll put in technology that'll make things go faster, better, cheaper. They're really good at that. So they don't have to do it in lockstep tandem with the digitization of a business. Certainly have to be mindful and recognize the direction that the organization is taking. But you can do things better, faster, cheaper as an accounting function without actually being held back by the delays that are happening in the organization as a whole.
I think we're probably coming to the end of this, just simply from a time point of view. We could keep this conversation going for ages, I think. One or two key messages. Reflect on transformation, reflect on culture, reflect on this industrial age thinking. One or two key messages to leave the audience with as reminders of what we talked about. Stephen, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I so strongly believe that we've got to work on getting our thinking right first. You know, we've got to, like, the world, like, you know, we've been saying on this thing, things are going to keep changing and it's accelerating. So trying to keep on top of technology or trying to get across technology, it's going to be really hard to stay up to date with everything that's going. But you've got to start with getting your thinking right and getting, being open and willing and curious to sort of let go of old ways of thinking and be open to embracing new ways of thinking. And to me, if you can lay a foundation for yourself in that, then to me, whatever the future brings, you've got a sort of like the biggest weapon we've all got to evolve and adapt is our mindset, our beliefs and our behaviors. That's our biggest weapon. And, you know, we've got to use it. And if we don't, we're in real trouble. That's, to me, the biggest thing. We get, like Brendan said earlier, the danger is you get caught up in technology and it's so easy. It's so much going on. But get this right first, to me, is the key.
And Brendan?
So two things. I think at an organizational level, I think this is on CEOs as well as CFOs, but I think CFOs have to take the ownership of it to make sure that this message is driven. But they have to explain the value of finance. How is it that finance can support the organization's growth, direction, development? So I think CFOs need to get their messaging right. And in order to do that, they need to learn up on stuff. They need to read research and professional insights from ACCA and other organizations about the future of accountants and accounting functions and finance functions. I think the second one then is around equipping yourself to be able to deliver on that promise. So when I say equip yourself, I mean yourself individually, your team and your organization. So I think moving away from a mindset of people, processes and systems to people, processes and purpose is probably a good direction to go. Processes or systems are just processes that have been automated. So it's the same thing. So if you just think about the people that you need, the skills that they need to have in order to be able to deliver on that promise. And then you get your right training, right onboarding, right recruitment processes in to find the right people, attract the right talent and get them working to add value straight away. Getting the processes right, which is about absolutely looking at those ways to automate right across your finance function and elsewhere. But really it's about that purpose. Why are we here as an accounting function? What is it that we are here to do? How do we support our organization? What does our organization stand for? And how do we actually align to that? And I think, you know, a lot of stuff that ACCA have done in the past is really powerful in that, looking at things like, you know, the UN Sustainable Development Goals and connecting that into your organizational strategy and business objectives, and then cascading that down into the function of a finance department and why it's there to support an organization to deliver on that promise to their customers and to the world. So I think they're the two things. As a CFO, you got to get the messaging out about the value of accountants, and you've got to equip yourself and your teams to be able to operate in that environment.
Well, thank you both very much for those thoughts. I think the audience will have quite a few things to contemplate from this discussion. We hope you found this session useful. If you wish to read the full report or access any of the abstracts, then please visit either the ACCA, the Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, or Generation CFO websites, or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. But thank you, Brendan, and thank you, Stephen. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.